J-Cast, the J-Cast. Welcome to the J-Cast.
Well, hey, what is up, everybody? By the time you're listening to this, I'm sure you are in a food coma from Thanksgiving. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving and shared everything that you are thankful for. I'm really excited just about this new season. As many of you know that we moved states and we've been in a different season of life. And I've just been thankful. I've been able to spend a lot of time with my children, my four-year-old and my two-year-old daughter. And it's been just such a blessing where I'm not sure that I would have normally gotten that or when I will get that. It's such a crucial stage in age. And so I'm just very thankful. I've been reflecting a lot this season on all the things that I'm thankful for. And I hope you do as well. I know that I'm actually prone to be analytical and critical. And being thankful and grateful and thinking about those things actually helps lift your spirits, lifts those endorphins and serotonin levels. So be thankful, be grateful, think about those things, write them down so you can see them and really contemplate about them. And I hope you're doing well, friends. I hope you're having a good season as we go into Christmas. And I'm thankful just to be a part of your life and your community, however you're listening to this, whether you're cruising in the car, whether you're listening at home, at school, at work, however, I'm just grateful to have this opportunity. That's another huge thing that I'm thankful for. Shelly and I were talking about that the other day. We just celebrated a year on the podcast, so I've been thinking about how really grateful I am, all the incredible guests and incredible listeners that we have. Thank you so much for listening, and this is going to be an incredible episode. I am very, very excited for you to hear this. We have an awesome guest, Carlos Whitaker. He's been a friend of mine for many years. We have worked on a few projects together in the past, and I'm just thrilled about his new book that had just came out. It's called Kill the Spider, and it has an awesome, awesome title, and I'm going to let him tell you about that in just a few moments. But just wanted to let you know, so excited about you, so thankful about you. During this season, set some time apart, talk about what you're thankful for, write it down, and I hope you have a good holiday season. You're going to really enjoy this episode coming at you with Carlos Whitaker from Nashville, Tennessee, as we talk about life, mistakes, personality, journeys, loving, forgiving, mental health, and the journey, finding yourself in the journey. So love it. You guys enjoy as we hang out with Carlos Whitaker. Well, hey, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning into the J-Cast. We are so thrilled that you are here today. We have an amazing guest with us, the one and the only, Mr. Carlos Whitaker. What's up?
The one and only. There's only one guy with a Mexican first name and a British last name, and that's me.
That is so true. You are unique to the tilt.
Bro, it's me.
That's amazing.
So glad to be here.
Yes, man. Thanks so much for taking some time out. I know that you are in a whirlwind tour with the recent release of your book that we'll talk about today in just a few moments. How you doing? How you feeling? Is your world spinning? You doing okay?
You know, it was spinning, and I left on September the 15th to start traveling with the book, like promoting the book, and the book came out October 3rd. And I just got home. I mean, what's today? Today is November 15th. So it's been a little over 8 weeks of me being home for 7 days over those 8 weeks. And so it was crazy. And it looked like on paper, on my screen, like in June, it looked like a good idea. Like I was like, oh, man, like, yeah, totally. Like I'll go out there and I'll just kind of crush it. And then I'll come home. But, dude, I am done. Like I am toast. And, but I've got exactly down 67 days of no work, like 67 days of nothing. I'm just going to be fishing and sleeping and Netflixing for the next 2 months.
Amazing, bro. Good for you. And you still, you're in Nashville, right?
I'm in Nashville. I mean, and as an entrepreneur, you know, I mean, you get to do that. You get to work hard, make all your money for 2 months, and then, and then not do anything. And then at the end of those next 2 months, start freaking out and go make some more.
That's so true. It's very similar to those Alaskan frontier guys.
It is.
You hibernate, you make it happen, and then you enjoy the land.
This is my homestead. This is my homestead. So amazing. I'm in the winter now.
That's incredible, bro. Again, thanks so much just for stopping in here in the midst of all that. And love to talk about your journey just through life. We'll talk about the book as well. But a lot of our listeners are thinking about, hey, what's the best place for me? What are the monumental things that happen in my life that are kind of crossroads and paths that I take? So I'd love for a moment if you could just, you know, summarize, just share your story. I know you've been a worship pastor in the worship arena for a long time. That led you to blogging and writing. What's that journey?
Dude, it was a crazy journey, you know, with a lot of streams of content flowing at the same time. So I don't feel like I was ever kind of delivering one stream of content by itself. And so, you know, I look back and, you know, I went to schools at California Baptist University, majored in information systems management. It was like during the .com boom. And the goal was just to be I started a .com with, you know, a couple friends, and that started going well. And then, you know, I got invited to join the worship team at my church. And the church was only 3 months old at the time. It was called Sandals Church. And I did. And next thing you know, man, I got sucked in, fell in love with it. became the worship pastor at Sandals Church. I was there for 10 years and a little under 10 years, about 9.5 years. But you know, obviously God grew my heart for worship and I just really loved it. I was so, this was like 98 to 2007-ish. And so this was kind of like when, you know, modern worship kind of, it went from like djembes and acoustic guitars to like that first Hillsong United record came out and everyone was like, what is this? And then like, so it was just a fun time. It was a fun time to be in that world. And the whole time I was doing that, though, I had this blog called Ragamuffin Soul. And man, I was writing on that thing twice a day. Like I couldn't find enough time to write. Like I just loved writing stories. I loved writing about my life. And you know, while I was just kind of local church pastor guy, like I was building, not on purpose. It's not like I took a course to build a platform. I just kind of was spilling my soul, man. And I, for 10 years, was writing almost twice a day on this blog. Wow. And started off with kind of worship leaders were following it. And then we adopted our son and filmed it up, put it on YouTube. And then a lot of adoption people followed it. And then it turned into like a parenting thing. And then it was crazy, man. And so like that was going alongside me being a worship pastor. And then 10 years after being at Sandals, I got a call from North Point Community Church. And I moved my family, after a lot of prayer, to Atlanta, Georgia, and was the service programming director there for 3 years, and sat, you know, under Andy Stanley and under his leadership and teaching, and help design Sundays is really what it was. So I was leading worship less, but I was kind of leading more as far as staff. And then, gosh, and from there, again, I'm still blogging at that point. From there, I signed a record deal with Integrity Music. And, you know, it was kind of something again that happened accidentally. Like they found me because of my blog, like again, because of my writing. Like they actually had never even heard me sing with the A&R guy when he took a meeting with me. And I was like, bro, I'm actually not a very good singer. Like I'm really good at writing and I'm really good at talking between songs and I'm really good at talking, you know, getting the crowd to understand. You know, it's funny. I'll share a story. Andy Stanley once told me about 8 months into leading worship at North Point. He said, Carlos, you're one of our best worship leaders at North Point. And I want to tell you, it's not because you can sing. And I remember not knowing if I should be offended but he's like, it's because when you walk on stage, everyone feels like they're your best friend. It's something that you can't teach. Yeah. It's just, they trust you. And he goes, you can use that for good or you can use that for bad. So just be careful, you know? And so I took that and left North Point, started touring, you know, did all the CCM tours, man, did all the big, you know, festivals. Okay. I've toured with the Newsboys, Jeremy Camp, did all that, you know. But honestly, you know, as I was in kind of the recording industry artist mode, I honestly hated making a record. Like I didn't enjoy the process at all. I like to stand on stages and I like to lead people in songs that they already know.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
there was just something about singing my own song. I would rather stand on stage and sing a Hillsong song than my own, you know? After two records, I just was like, I don't know if this is for me anymore. And around that point, I've had a couple friends of mine forever that said, Carlos, like people buy your records because they love you. Again, it's just the whole Andy Stanley thing. They're fans of yours because they feel like they're your best friend. You don't have to keep doing this. You can, you know, create income and do things other ways. And so why don't you're more of a thought leader than a worship leader. And so kind of took some advice and in 2014, made the decision to stop leading worship altogether and to write my first book. And so, it was a gamble and it was a risk and I did it. And, I said, hey man, if you want to, you know, maybe I'll tell the story later, but there was a big moment in my life where I did kind of made a decision to cancel 87 worship leading dates that were already scheduled for the year.
Oh, wow.
And just kind of trust God with it. But, you know, now two books later and, you know, hundreds of stages later, I'm loving kind of where I've landed. Now I'm an author and a speaker, kind of like it's still the thought leader space. I don't really blog anymore. I blog on Instagram, I guess.
Okay.
That's kind of where blogging's gone.
Yeah,
you know, like
yeah, totally.
Instead of making people come to my blog, like they're already on Instagram. So I'm just going to go to them. And so still writing a lot, you know, I just released, like you said, my second book and I'm just got done with book tour. And so it's, man, you know, who knows what my life will look like in another 2 years even, but I'm enjoying the journey and I'm loving where I've ended up.
That's awesome, man. So cool. I'd love to pick your brain a little bit. So I love how you're throughout your life, it seems like you never juggled one thing. You're juggling a lot of things because you're interested in a lot of things.
Yeah.
What did that ever create tension? What was that like when you were at North Point and then it was the possibility that you could go and be an entrepreneur by yourself, that pressure? What are some of those things that you felt and processed throughout that?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it's different when you're an entrepreneur and you're doing 10 things that you love than if you're working for an organization and doing 9 other things on the side, because even if you're doing your job well, okay. Even if you're doing your job well, it just, there's going to be people in a large organization that just aren't hip to it, man. They just, they can't fathom it because they are kind of one focus minded and they want to do their job and do it well. And I want to do my job and do it well, but I also wanted to do 4 other things on the side. And that's just kind of how God is really wired me. And here's the thing, you know, when you look at kind of the giftings and the callings that God has placed upon people, I think that people like me get a bad rap in the church because there are people that are starters of things. And like, if you look even at like Paul's journey and kind of how he did, like he didn't stick around one place the whole time. Like, like he started something and then we went and he started something and he went, well, people like that now in the church get labeled as like uncommitted and, you know, things like that. Well, but the truth is that, you know, if you have an entrepreneurial spirit, you can still benefit the local church. The local church just has to realize that you're not going to be there forever. Yeah. And so, you know, so if you're a pastor listening to this, or if you're a leader listening to this and you're thinking to yourself, gosh, man, my young worship guy's driving me freaking crazy because he has like 15 other things he wants to do. Well, guess what? Maybe God has created him to do all those other things too. And you only have him for a season.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think sometimes it's hard to be of my kind of personality type and exist in the local church. It, you know, it can beat you down because of that. But, you know, after therapy and many years away from working for a local church, man, I think I've healed some of the wounds, that I may have developed during those years. And now, man, we're part of a local church here in Nashville called The Belonging. And it has changed the shape of my family. And I run cameras on Sundays and awesome. And I volunteer and it is just the best, man.
That's awesome. And I so appreciate you sharing that, because, I mean, even me personally, I've dealt with that even in my own life. I see a few of friends of mine, you know, that yeah. they'll own businesses or they've worked at the same place for like 25 some years, and there's so much stability there. And then in my own heart, I feel a little bit of insecurity, like, hey, why can't I do that? Why can't I do? And I know yeah. I've talked to so many people, especially, you know, within the church or the nonprofit world, where they're just thinking, is something wrong with me, or is this right. the way that I'm wired?
Right.
And how totally. Do I maximize
It's how God's
that?
Built us, man. It's how God built us. And we, just step into that, man. Lean into that. And, you'll be a lot happier than if you're trying to, you know, fit into the mold that you're, maybe sitting in right now.
That's so true, man. I appreciate you sharing that. So most recently you have a book release, and you talk a little bit about your life, what you just explained. And now outwardly, Carlos, you're explaining all that. And I'm excited for you. I'm like, hey, man, this is awesome. But there, yeah. it sounds like you're really thriving. You're really loving life. But in this book, you're actually really honest. And there's a point in your life where you weren't thriving at all.
Yeah.
Share a little bit about that with us.
Yeah. You know, in my book called Kill the Spider, I went through a season where everything I started to touch turned to gold. And I'm not kidding you, man. Everything, like, it was almost ridiculous to where, God, you know, I felt like everything I did went viral. Everything I did, you know, we had this YouTube video go viral the week after my record came out with Integrity, like everything, it just was like ridiculous how yeah. perfect it was. And so what ended up happening is I started to believe my own hype, and I started to believe that I was in some way, shape, or form in charge and responsible for these blessings. And that's the dangerous spot, man. And so there's a lie. That's a lie that I believed. And that lie began to produce some behaviors in my life that ultimately destroyed my life. And, you know, and so I found myself really about a year after that video went viral on YouTube, I lost my entire family. I lost it all. And I was living with one of my best friends and his family for 4 months, and the book isn't about you know, I think some people may think that the book is about that, but it's really about finding true and absolute healing from anything, any behavior, any sin pattern, anything that's really holding you back. And so, you know, in there, you know, I take people on my journey on what it looked like before the trauma, what it looked like during the trauma, and then how I got out of the trauma. And here's the thing again, like, these don't have to be all, just kind of like these massive traumatic moments in your life. Like, right. Anyone that's listening to this podcast, you know, we go through seasons, and everybody has something that they're trying to get past. They've got some behavior yeah. that they just can't seem to fix. And dude, I'm telling you what, man, I've been, even before this, like, of course, as any author would, I've just kind of sit on my Amazon reviews, go every single day to see if somebody else has left another one. And my favorites are just, this book is just giving people such freedom
yeah.
from, they're finally finding freedom from these behaviors. And I'm, you know, it took me 3 years to write. I'm glad it took me that long, because I think it ended up being the right book.
That's incredible, man. I'd love for you maybe just to extrapolate a little bit on the part in your life where you were talking about you had so many dates that you could still go and do what was normal, do your thing, but you made the hard decision and decided to stop all of it. What was that about, and why'd you make that choice?
Yeah, you know, it was after kind of trauma had happened in my life. It was after a lot of soul searching for me and prayer. And I felt like God began to tell me, you know, cause here's the thing, the book's called Kill the Spider, and it's all about, really simply, a spider is an agreement you've made with a lie. Okay. So there's lies that we believe, and those lies in turn produce behaviors. So those lies are really why we behave the way we behave. And a cobweb is a medicator. A medicating behavior that brings you a sense of comfort to the lie. So I say that because most of us are operating underneath lies, and those lies are creating our behaviors. So for me, I began to believe my own hype, I began to believe the lie. Okay. And the lie was that I somehow was responsible for my own blessings and success. Well, what that did was that created behaviors. And what I had to do is do some soul searching on, for me at least, and I'm not saying this is for every worship leader out there, but I just, man, I would get off stages at this point and people would just, I mean, just be swooning like, Carlos, the worship was so incredible. And it was so this and so that. And I just, that was actually bad for my soul. Like it was not good for my soul. I don't believe that God created any human being to be able to deal with fame. I can't even fathom some of these people that are so famous. I mean, they're in cages, you know, they're completely trapped. And so, you know, through a lot of prayer and soul searching, I said, well, you know, I felt like God said, I'm calling you to start writing, and to start speaking and not singing anymore. And that was such a scary space for me. And so, because I mean, I was like high energy worship guy. That was my identity. That was who I, you know, that was what paid my bills. And, through a lot of disobedience, I did for like 6 months, I just kept ignoring that prompting. And finally I went to my wife and I said, babe, like, I feel like God's telling me, you know, to do this. And, you know, my wife has like zero fear and she's like, okay, well then let's do it. Let's pray tonight. And although like we have our bills paid the rest of the year through all of these worship leading gigs, if he says that you're supposed to stop, tomorrow you're going to go and you're going to go to your laptop and you're going to email every date and you're going to cancel them. So I did, we prayed and we both felt the same thing. So I went to my laptop and I emailed every worship leading gig and I said, hey, listen, I'm canceling, you know, here's your deposits. You can have them back. But if you need a speaker, I feel like God's asking me to start preaching. And Jason, I waited 4 days for a response from, and my bank account started going down. The deposits started going away and not one person emailed me back asking me to come and speak. Wow. And I started thinking, oh crap, I've screwed up. And then a week later, nothing. And then 13 days later, haven't heard anything. At day 13, I went to Home Depot. And I went to Starbucks and I filled out an application because this was it. Like I've made the wrong choice and God has led me astray. Maybe it wasn't God that I heard.
Yep.
And it was day 14 that I got an email that I deleted because I thought it was spam. And it was an email from the White House. And it said, the White House and President Barack Obama. And I was like, oh, this must be spam. So I just deleted it. And then a couple, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes later, publicist called me and she's like, hey, did you get the email? And I was like, no, what email? So I'll go back and I look and I actually on day 14 got asked to deliver the devotional for the Easter prayer breakfast in the White House. My very first speaking gig ever. The very first time I'm ever going to speak or be asked to speak in front of everybody was at the freaking White House. And I was able to sing a song and to give a 10 minute devotional. And I just felt like God was like, see, it's really in the waiting, right? It's not, it's your faith isn't going to be built, you know, when the things, you know, when you're receiving the blessings, it's in that waiting period. And so that was the beginning for me, man. That was the beginning. It was kind of, honestly, it's been downhill from there. I mean, I went from the White House and now like I'm, you know, anywhere I go now is in the White House. And so, but it was a blast. And so that's kind of my journey on believing a lie, having to break the agreement with the lie. And then once that happened, because again, I was believing some lies in the 14 days, right? Like there were lies coming up that were whispering to me, Carlos, you know, you made a mistake. This wasn't from God, you know, all these things. Yep. And what I could have done is had, started believing those lies and have behaviors spin off of those lies. But if we break the agreement with the lie, then the cobwebs go away.
Gosh, so good, man. It's so true.
Yep.
I'd love for you to share, the story about why you, the name of the book, about the conversation with your dad.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So cool.
Absolutely. You know, so after kind of my marriage fell apart and then, spoiler alert, but it's back together, the Lord heals. you know, we're many years past that now, but I was on my way to 7 days of therapy at a place called On-Site Workshops outside of Nashville, Tennessee. And this place, it's an experiential therapy center and it's just a, you know, it's a lot of work, man. I mean, you know, if anyone's listening has ever been to therapy, imagine going for 7 straight days. Like it's a lot of work, but I'm on my way and I don't really know why I'm going. Like, I know that I keep kind of, you know, I fixed some of the behaviors in my life that were causing massive trauma to other people in my world, but I know I still had the tendency to lean back in those directions and I wanted to fix that. So I called my dad on the way there and my dad, I go, hey, Dad, man, I'm going to this place, and I don't really know why I'm going. I just know I keep rubbing crap on my blessings. Every time, like, I get a blessing, I find a way to ruin it. And my dad goes, Carlos, you are not rubbing crap on your blessings. And I was like, no, Dad, I am. And he goes, well, I know why you are rubbing crap on your blessings. And I was like, okay, you're going to tell me 37 years later? Like, why didn't you share this with me before so I didn't have to go through all this? John, he goes, let me tell you a story. And so my dad goes on, and he tells me this story in the next few minutes where he was preaching a revival in Panama when he was young. And that's where he was born, and he was preaching a revival in his home church. And this woman comes forward the first night of the revival, Miss Ramirez, and she looks him in the eye, and he's really excited that somebody's come forward for prayer. And she said, Pastor, can you please pray that the Lord cleans the cobwebs from my life? And my dad said that was very poetic, and he thought, oh, that's very interesting, but I don't completely understand, but I'll pray that. So he said he prayed for the Lord to clean the cobwebs from Miss Ramirez's life. And he said the second night of the revival, it was a 3-night revival. She comes forward again, and he thought, oh, she's going to tell me that he did it, that he cleaned the cobwebs. And she says, Pastor, can you pray again that the Lord cleans the cobwebs from my life? And my dad said, oh, well, I prayed that last night. And she said, well, can you pray harder? So he prayed again, God, please clean the cobwebs out of Miss Ramirez's life. And then he says, Carlos, the third night of the revival, she comes forward again, and she looks me in the eye with tears in her eyes, and she says, Pastor Fermin, can you pray one more time that the Lord cleans the cobwebs? And my dad said he stopped her mid-sentence and said, nope, we've actually been praying the wrong prayer. Tonight we pray he kills the spider. Because he goes, Carlos, I've watched you your entire life clean the cobwebs of sin. You're an expert. And you can't go there and do that again. You can't go there and just clean the cobwebs. You have to find the producer of these cobwebs and kill the freaking spider. And so, you know, for me, cobweb cleaning is what I was good at. If you go to Barnes and Nobles and you walk down the self-help aisle, that's the cobweb aisle. That's what that is. Five steps to a better marriage, three steps to lose 15 pounds, four steps to stop looking at pornography. You know, those are cobwebs. Those behaviors will never change unless you find the spider, the agreement you've made with the lie, and break that agreement. And so that story was really the premise of the book, in helping people really get past these behaviors and find the source, break those agreements, and then the behaviors go away.
That's amazing. Such freedom in that, because again, we could be on such a journey to finding our freedom and not even realizing that we're messing with cobwebs and the spider's hiding.
Absolutely. No, man. Absolutely. You know, it's funny, you know, even thinking about real life cobwebs, like at your house, wherever you're living, like you may have cobwebs like in the corner of on your ceiling, and you don't care. You completely ignore those cobwebs. But if you walk into a room and a cobweb hits your face, or if you reach under a lampshade and your hand hits a cobweb, you go ballistic. You go into full seizure mode, and you're wiping that thing off. And it's not until we like run across these cobwebs do we do anything about them. And that's why, you know, that's why we can't just deal with the cobwebs, man. You gotta kill the freaking spider.
It's so true. Carlos, are there just maybe a few things that you did in your life that would be helpful for listeners that helped you get past the cobwebs and find the spider? Was it, you know, counseling? Was it communicating with your spouse, somebody close with you? What are some of the things?
Yeah, I think the first step you're going to have to do is the first thing you do is you identify your cobwebs, right? And so what are the behaviors? If you don't think you have any, just ask your family, and they'll be happy to tell you what your medicating behaviors are, right? Yeah. And so once you identify those, okay, that's the easy part. The hard part is getting to the spider, right? And so that's why finding the agreement you've made with the lie, a lot of times that happens in adolescence. A lot of times that happens in childhood. And so that's where it takes work to find it, to identify the spider, to locate the spider, to corner the spider. That's where therapy, that's where friends, that's where a lot of work takes place. But I'll tell you what, like you can't kill the spider in therapy. Like the only way to actually kill it, drive a dagger through the heart of it, is honestly through the power of the cross, the power of the resurrection, and the authority that Jesus has given you in his ascension. Now we're using these tools that are the only tools that are going to give you freedom and break those lies. And without those tools, you're screwed. And so I'd say step one is counseling, therapy, those things. But step two, once you're face to face with the spider, what I did is I moved from therapy to I found a place here in Nashville called Restoring the Foundations, and it is a inner healing prayer ministry. And so what I had to do is go from therapy to a skilled ninja prayer warrior. And this ninja is like 78 years old. And when this man prays, he absolutely, when he walks in the room, you can freaking hear the swords and his armor just clanking together because he is just girded up with the full armor of God. And wow. I had to find a guy like that, that could lead me face to face with these spiders and break those agreements. Now, here's the thing. I'm not saying everybody has to go do inner healing in order to kill your spiders, but what I will tell you is it is going to take skilled prayer. And in my book, I really help people go from understanding that prayer is just a speech to God, yep, to prayer being like linking arms with God and stepping into battle in a conversation and in an intimate fight alongside of Him. And, for the longest time, I didn't understand that that's what prayer was, but yeah, man, I'm telling you what, man, I mean, once I've stepped into this new way of understanding what prayer is, it has transformed absolutely everything in my life. People think I'm freaking crazy. The way I talk to Jesus every day as if he's – because he is, as if Holy Spirit is just right here talking back to me.
Right.
I've stepped into a new season. So, again, you don't have to go to 7 days of therapy. You don't have to go find an inner healing place. But I'll tell you what, when you read my book, I think at the end of the book, what most people are saying and realizing, I give you tools in the book. I give you specific prayers in the book. But it's just – I think the book is just a starting point for people to really step into this new season of freedom. And I think it's a good place to start.
That's awesome, man. And I think one of the huge important things, I know it's been for my life and I see it as you're sharing your story, is in order to identify the cobwebs and the spider, you have to slow the heck down.
Yeah.
You've got to stop. You've got to take a breath and you really got to go deep.
That's, you know, my wife and I, we're starting this ministry called Enter, and we have Enter in three different phases. The first phase is Enter Rest, and then it's Enter Hope, and Enter Hope is kill the spider. I mean, and then Enter Wild, and Enter Wild is kind of stepping into that wild moment making season of your faith. But before you can get to Enter Hope or Enter Wild, you have to Enter Rest. And And the problem is that especially entrepreneurs and people that are trying to find their calling, they're hustlers, they're listening to Gary Vee, which he's got some great ideas or whatever. But listen, like I don't care who you are, you cannot debate that our souls were not created for the pace at which we are running. Yeah, and, man, it is, I've had to put in some massive restrictions in my life. You know, like I don't pick up my – I don't even look at my phone for 2 hours after I wake up. Like I go, I make my coffee and I have breakfast and I talk to my family because what I used to do is you just pick it up and the second you look at your Twitter feed or you look at your emails, you are out of the presence of God and you're into the world. So we've got to slow down. We've got to stand still. We've got to pause.
Change habits.
That is definitely the next I don't know what my next book is going to be specifically, but I know that this is going to be a massive, massive, especially coming from someone like me. If you followed me at all, you know that I'm all in when it comes to sharing my life, social media, storytelling, consuming. I've now finally hit a place in my life where I realize that's not healthy. And so I'm going to try to help some people out.
That's awesome, man. Thank you so much for sharing that. So, so good. People can get the book anywhere.
They can get it anywhere, man. Get it. Obviously, like I love it when people go to Amazon and buy them because it helps my, all the other bookstores look at Amazon. And if people are buying on Amazon, then they order books. So
wonderful.
Killthespider.com is another place you can go.
Okay. Killthespider.com. And then if people are interested in booking you to come and speak.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. CarlosWhitaker.com. There's a speaking, a speaking section on there.
Wonderful.
And, it kind of has my speaking reel on there and man, I'm actually kind of about to launch, my booking for 2018. I don't know when this podcast is going to come out, but it's already more filled up than 2017 was. And so, I'd be excited to come and, share at your church.
Wonderful. That's awesome. And you're doing some theme talks around the book.
Yep. Cool. I mean, obviously, like, I've got my other book, Moment Maker, which I've loved talking about, but I'm definitely in a season right now where all I want to do is help people kill spiders.
Yeah.
So, man, I'd love to come and help some of your people find some freedom.
That's awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for, again, joining us. I know you're in a crazy schedule now. Enjoy all the rest that you're about to get, which is so fun.
Thanks so much for having me, buddy.
Yeah, you bet, man. All right. Thanks so much for tuning in to the JCast. We'll see you guys next week.